The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault. Welcome to episode 74 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Good evening, my name is Pete. It is our independent month, so tonight we will be reviewing from 2022, Krabs! Exclamation point!
Nice rolled R there.
Krabs! Anyway, this film came out, again, 22. First time Troy and I saw it was earlier this year with the Give Me Back My Horror Movies.
Yes.
We recorded on this one, and, well, so I brought it over here so we could all watch it and enjoy the fun. With our independent month, we are not going to do a six-minute synopsis, nor will we do a rating. So we're just going to chat about the film.
We're not going to talk about the movie.
Yep.
We're just going to drink beer, and then we're done.
And giggle, and
goodbye.
And goodbye. Might be a short episode. Who knows?
Wait, really? Yeah. Why did I have to watch it then?
The peanut gallery over there, that's Kathleen and Troy. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Very good. Dave's with us, too.
I am.
And secretly, we have superfan Jen Erdman. I'm not here. Okay. Can I use your whole name? Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Just asking. So Jen is not, or is, she's in the room. Anyway, you might hear something and we might giggle and then we'll have to explain ourselves. So anyway, this is, and our July is our independent month. And I guess I could just quick go through kind of what happens in this movie.
Yeah, see if you could do it in under 6 minutes.
This is going to be super short. So radioactive horseshoe crabs start eating the town. A paraplegic builds a giant robot suit and battles the queen crab, and there's a happy ending. That's about it.
Wow.
It is.
Wow, it was a 6 second
synopsis. Completely ridiculous, and I found it wonderful and enjoyable. There's lots of, they really tried hard to do practical effects in this film, and that just brought great joy to my heart. I don't know. Let's get a first reaction from the gang. Dave, talk to me. What kind of, let me know what you thought about the film overall.
It was exactly what I expected it to be.
Oh, yeah. And, you
know, well, I try to measure things against what they're supposed to be.
Sure.
Like, if you try to measure something against an unfair standard, you will always not like it. It'll always fail.
Yeah. This,
right.
This is not and was not supposed to be, I hate to say Citizen Kane.
But, right. Like, this isn't supposed to be high
movie
art.
Of that caliber, yeah.
Right. So, like, if I was like, if I could say, like, oh, this is the worst romantic comedy ever. But it's not supposed to be a romantic comedy. It's, you know.
Right.
Right.
Like, is this a documentary? Because it's a terrible documentary.
It's awful. There's no horseshoe crabs in the Pacific Ocean.
But if it's like a movie about monsters and hilarity and a lot of weed smoking.
It's a lot of weed smoking.
And a little bit of kaiju action in there, mm-hmm. then it was perfect. That's not, I mean, I'm not going to include whether I liked it or not, but those are my impressions.
Sure.
I liked it.
What up, Troy? What do you think?
This is viewing number two.
Yeah, you and me both.
And I knew what I was in for this time, and I enjoyed it both times. I sit there and there's one factor that I'm constantly fighting against the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. I might know what this is.
Why aren't you thinking that, Pete? What are you trying to tell me? America!
So are you referring to a specific character, I assume?
No.
No, not at all.
What do you think, Kathleen?
Yeah. He just passes the buck. Well done, sir.
I agree with you that I don't love that. How do I say this?
the character. I mean, like,
I don't, here's what I hear. This would be my really only kind of critique for this movie. And that is, I feel like this movie maker was very inspired by, and we named several things when we were watching this movie. We talked about Ghostbusters 2. We talked about
Pacific Rim.
We talked about Gremlins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those homages were done very well. If this one particular character was supposed to be a homage to the Yawnish character in Ghostbusters 2,
why am I dripping with
that's
goo?
Also a very well done homage, but it doesn't land very well now. Well, because it just feels like at the very beginning I was like, are we trying to say this person has some learning difficulties? Are we trying to make fun of the international student? Right, like, right. I know he's supposed to be the levity in it, and he does have some funny line that would have landed really well if every time he opened his mouth, I didn't go, ugh.
Well, and the problem is, he is a wonderful seasoning. Throw him in there every once, you know, twice. He gets four or five great lines and awesome. But he becomes like a major player and is in every scene. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's way too much. You've just oversalted your stew,
like,
basically.
Like C-3PO and R2-D2 in Star Wars.
Yes.
You get a light peppering through the entire series, but not in every damn scene.
Yeah, it's too much of him.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
But
how about you, Jen?
I thought the crabs looked delicious.
Being from the East Coast, that's high praise.
Yeah.
I thought this movie is a delight, and I will watch it again. So,
I liked a lot of this movie. I thought the suit for the crabs was really well done. I would have liked to have seen maybe a little more up close with a little less lip, just so I could kind of like enjoy the craftsmanship that went into creating those suits without having to, you know, like there being vomit and gore happening at the same time.
Your love of vomit is is legendary. On that note, how about we grab our first beer and then let's talk about this movie a little bit more.
Okay.
Dave, you've got some beers for us, right?
I do.
Excellent. So let's go get it.
Taste colors beyond any known spectrum as phonic euphoria cascades into your consciousness. Observe the laws of physics no longer applying to an existence that confines. Space and time will unravel and reform to a screaming new dawn, bursting with infinite possibility. It's as easy as listening to the Corrupted Youth Podcast, where the father-son duo of Dan and Brennan explore the latest blockbusters, classic genre films, and the schlockiest of Golden Age VHS rental store flicks in spoiler-heavy fashion. Corrupted Youth Podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Take a break from reality, unlock your infinite cosmic potential, and become a dongle.
All right, what do we have?
That's a delayed reaction.
I can't pour and talk at the same time.
Oh. We have... it's a beer. It's a beer called Ruby's Revenge, an Imperial Grapefruit IPA.
Yes, oh, that's sorry.
And holy boy, shit. Does it...
That is fragrant.
It smells like orange. It smells orangey, though. Right?
I don't think it smells
orange. No, this is grapefruit through and through. This is straight grapefruit juice.
My nose must be busted.
Coming to the podcast with a busted nose. Okay, so this is Ruby. This is the Great Lakes Brewing Company. Ruby's Revenge.
Oh, that's good.
Imperial Grapefruit IPA. It's part of the Imperial IPA series from Great Lakes. Yay. Availability starts in June. It is a...
Hey, quote, it's June now.
No, it's not. It's July.
That's
shut
what I meant.
Up.
That's what I meant.
Fiercely fresh, peek ruby red grapefruit tangles with tantalizing citrusy hop aromas to cultivate this biting imperial IPA. Okay.
God, this can.
It's very grapefruit.
Art is beautiful.
The can art is mm-hmm. amazing.
It's Audrey too.
Yeah. No, it's Ruby.
It's Ruby too.
No, it's just Ruby because so, it's Ruby's Revenge.
What they're talking about is on the can art is of a what looks like a big Little Shop of Horrors style carnivorous plant.
Yeah.
Toho fans, Bialante.
So the ABV is 8.0.
Ooh,
so
respect this beer. Yeah, that's why it's in. Was this a 4-pack, was it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. They're pub cans too,
yeah.
So.
And yeah. You know that. Imperial IPAs are generally higher ABV, right?
Typically. Mm.
Okay. Is that why they're Imperial?
Anything that's as listed as imperial, right? It's not. It's metric.
As opposed
right?
to what did you say?
metric.
Yes. This is 3.5 liters or something. No, that's not right.
3.5
no,
liters?
No. I said that wrong. Milliliters.
Oh. That's better.
America. We got our own scales and shit.
And they can't do that either.
No, not really. So, yeah. What did you ask? Yes, Imperial. Anything that's listed as Imperial, Russian Imperial Stout, Imperial right. IPAs. Even were you around when we had the Imperial Pilsner from Rogue?
I can't remember.
The Chef Morimoto from the Iron Chef years of Food Network
of
or
Iron
something.
Chef, yes.
From Iron Chef.
Right. But this was, I think, when, like, after college. Anyway. Chef Morimoto from that show had a line of beers with Rogue Brewery out in Oregon.
I think somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
So, Oregon, somewhere in there. Their flagship is the
Dead Guy.
Dead Guy Ale. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, they had in these beautiful, and I've got two of these bottles left over. These beautiful ceramic, white ceramic bottles, and it had an Imperial Pilsner in it.
Interesting.
And it was, I think it was like 8 or 9%.
You don't usually get
Pilsners
not
that with
high.
Pilsners. No, it's not easy to get a Pilsner that high. Just for the way that the yeast works, it just right. it's hard to do. But that was one of my favorite beers ever. And I like these big flashy beers. And that Imperial Pilsner was delicious.
Is it still available?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
That was like a $20 bottle.
Okay. But back to this beer.
Right.
So the ABV is 8.0, which is very high, and the IBU statement is 75, which is numerically similar.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. So it kind of fits the Geary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit high. No, it's actually
it's a little maltier
yeah.
than it is hoppy, and I think that's spot on. So if you do the Geary, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that because like if it wasn't a grapefruit IPA, I would say it's very hoppy. But
yes.
it's actually got grapefruit in it, which has, like, a lot of hoppy beers have a grapefruit sure. character to it. So, if the grapefruit was removed, I think this would probably be a bit sweeter and stickier. Tiny, tiny bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, for our listeners who are not familiar, we have a guideline.
Yeah.
It's called the Geary. It's the Geary theory, named after our good friend Gary, who came up with this idea where if an ABV of a beer is numerically similar to the IBU of the beer, it is very balanced. So if an ABV of 8 and an IBU of, let's say, 80.
Yes, that would be a
perfectly
be balanced.
Balanced.
Quote, unquote, perfectly balanced beer.
Right. So if the ABV is higher, let's say 8, and the IBU is like 60, it'll be much maltier, stickier, sweeter.
Yeah, sure.
We'll take it.
Right. And if the IBU is higher, let's say like 120, and the ABV is 60.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be very hot.
That's a hot bomb.
Yeah. it'll be like chewing on pine and grass.
Wads of grass, I think.
Kathleen's
citrus
rinds
and stuff like that.
Right there.
Yeah.
So far, the Geary has rarely failed. I can't think of a situation where that theory has failed us. And I think this is a perfect example of how the IBUs are a little lower than the ABV, and I'm definitely getting a little more malt than I am hop. Mm-hmm.
Though it does lean a little bit IPA just because of all
sure.
that citrus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like this, you could almost taste the pulp of the grapefruit in this thing.
It's funny you say
yeah.
that.
God's sake.
Yeah. Because it is actually made with grapefruit peel in puree with some ginger.
Mm-hmm. With ginger?
That's where you get the heat.
Yeah, you do get a little bit of that zest, that outer that outer zest of
it. I don't
know
if I could tell the difference between that zest and that heat from just being 8.0.
Maybe.
But if you told me either, I would believe you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderfully crafted beer.
Yeah, this is good.
This is very good.
Mm-hmm. I could probably go through a few of these.
I'll tell you,
only a few.
The first sip is a little bit like, whoa, it kind of caught me off guard. But the more I drink it, the more I'm like, okay, it's acclimated to my mouth. Right. Like,
the more you're getting numbed, maybe.
Yeah, it attacked me a little bit at first. It was like, ah,
and now it's like,
now it's kind of purring.
The aroma, though, the first whiff I get of this is like I just cut into a fresh grapefruit, like or maybe even squeezed grapefruit into my face.
Yeah, and you get the juice in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. But that's the first thing I get when I smell this, but it doesn't translate into the palate at all.
It's juicier.
But the taste is getting in my eyes.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
It's still very good. I this is delightful. I would want this a little colder than it is right now.
Sorry.
No, I'm not judging.
Damn it, this Dave.
This is something I would want just a tad bit colder.
I would agree, honestly.
I
bought it like 3 hours ago.
Right. Usually I don't mind my beers getting warm, and this is on the this is on the cusp of being like, might be a little bit too warm.
Right.
For the most part, Great Lakes is just kicked everything out of the park. If you see Great Lakes, just go ahead and buy it. It's going to be good.
Then you shouldn't kick things out of the park because that's foul. You know, you should hit.
That's true. You hit it out of the park. Mm. That would be a home run.
Unless you're playing kickball. Maybe you're playing kickball.
Or kick crab.
Kick crab.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crab kicking in this
movie. A lot of crab kicking in this one. There was almost as much crab kicking in this as there was marijuana smoking, which I guess I approve of both. I'm not real sure.
I don't disapprove of either. both.
But I don't know. This movie was completely ridiculous. I think we can all agree to that.
Yes.
It was not trying to be a serious film.
No.
From what little I know about, I mean, we had when we did this earlier in the year, Troy, the guys that we did the podcast with over on Give Me Back My Horror Movies, they actually know the guy and have done some drops with him and did an interview with him and all sorts of stuff. So they really know this cat, and he's super friendly and super busy because this has kind of gotten him on the map. And it sounds like he wants to do a sequel to this and or more things. So I'm real excited for Pierce. I'm going to kill his name. Berlzheimer, I think. Did I say that fast enough to sound like a new like
Pierce.
Name.
Pierce. Sorry, Pierce. Sorry. We want to pronounce it correctly. We just don't know how.
Yeah, I grew up in Northwest Ohio where names were crazy pants, and Neuenschwander was one of those names that looks like Berlzheimer.
What?
Oh, yeah. Neuenschwander was like 20 letters. And he was the only guy on our team whose name was in an arch instead of straight across his back. Anyway,
it's too long.
It was too long.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Right. It was a custom jersey.
Oh.
Sweet. So I'm very excited for Pierce and what's up for him in the future. Again, it sounds like he's got a sequel coming out for Crabs. Maybe it's Crabs question mark. I don't know. We had Crabs exclamation point.
I mean, we were hinted at
Crab, semicolon.
A continuing battle across the world. So,
from what I remember, he wrote this screenplay when he was in high school, like in 16, 17 years old, and has just been sitting on it until he could get the money and the people together. And from what I understand is, crazy random happenstance runs into Lloyd Kaufman of Troma fame.
Oh.
Lloyd Kaufman owns Troma.
Oh.
And I think they were at a screening of something else, and he just happens to run into him. And being a young dude that doesn't know any better, he walks up to Lloyd Kaufman and says, "Dude, I got a movie idea." And he pitches it to them like in the
elevator pitch.
Right, pretty much. And Lloyd Kaufman, being the super cool dude he is, he's like, "Here's my card. Come visit me on Monday." And he does. And they start chatting. And sure enough, Kaufman goes, "I think we got something here." And the details beyond that, I don't have accurate information about. But
So he showed up to the meeting on a unicorn.
Right. with the help of Lloyd Kaufman, Pierce got this movie made. And there's clearly a lot of money.
Yes.
Or I should say enough money behind this to make some really, really great costumes mm-hmm. and some nice practical gore effects mm-hmm. and dodgy CG, but whatever. I can live with dodgy CG if I get me a dude in a rubber suit. Mm-hmm. Several dudes in rubber suits. It was marvelous. So I don't want to say it's rags to riches, but it's an inspiration to filmmakers or folks with ideas. Is like, go chase your dream. Mm-hmm. If you have an opportunity, don't squander it. Go mm-hmm. out and talk to that person. What are they going to do? Say no.
Right.
And if they don't say no, then we get a movie like this in our lives. And thank you so much for being that guy that just mm-hmm. went, what's it going to cost me yeah. anything to say, hey, I got an idea for a movie.
Fortune right. favors the what bold.
Right. Yes.
What could that elevator pitch have been? Because like, honestly, if you describe the movie, crabs get irradiated by a nuclear power plant blowing up and then attack a small town. That sounds silly, and like, there's nothing that's going to like really push.
Horseshoe crabs.
Huh? Horseshoe crabs. Horseshoe maybe crab. That's it. Like,
have you seen a lot of trauma movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%. But he's like, yeah, I
janitor
get that.
Janitor falls
I get...
into a vat of toxic waste and becomes a superhero.
But he's like, I get that pitch 7 times a week.
Yeah.
Right. Though, honestly... Right. Like he might have had, because some of the dialogue is actually really pretty clever and pretty well done.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I do enjoy a lot of the banter outside of Radu, and
he and had good lines.
He had good lines. I Pepper. He's Pepper. He's a seasoning.
I need more. I get more with less Radu.
Yeah. Yeah.
More. Give me less, and I think it's going to be more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Radu's ninja, shows up later as a ninja. Oh, okay. All right. But everything else in between is, oh my God.
Yeah. You know, maybe that elevator pitch was the imagine the Statue of Liberty from Ghostbusters 2 meets Godzilla meets the... chaos scenes from
Gremlins
mm-hmm. meets, you know, what are like if you can paint a picture by making those examples.
There were like 4 clear homages in this mm-hmm. film. You had I saw Pacific Rim, Power Rangers, Gremlins, and mm-hmm. Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Two
Ghostbusters 2, right. Mm-hmm. So there were felt, and I think everyone felt like there were very clear homages.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse when they were.
I didn't catch that.
Just
I don't
to
have
the
kids,
toddler parents.
So that was as they were going through there.
They're building the big robot.
They're building the big end big giant effing robot, right?
Holding up different pieces that they're going to use and announcing like what it is.
Propeller.
Yeah,
pirate wheel, yeah.
Rope.
So I didn't get that. But if that's something in the Disney Clubhouse or whatever,
yeah,
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse,
yeah, it's like there's a certain problem that has to be solved, and Mickey yells, "Oh, toodles!" And this little because the entire cartoon is like CG.
I don't know any of this.
Little thing flies in from the side of the screen and has like 4 different tools, and you have to pick which tool could solve this problem.
Really?
And one of them is the mystery mouse tool. You don't know what it is.
Mouse tool. Yep. How do you choose it?
If none of the other things will
clearly work.
So what happens if you choose the wrong tool? Is Mickey like, no, wrong?
Because it's usually
you
3.
You stupid bastards.
It's usually 3, you know.
You get sent into the pit of laser sharks.
There's a screw here with a flat edge. Should we use a screwdriver, a giraffe, a television,
chainsaw,
or the mystery mouse couture?
Yeah.
The giraffe.
There definitely is an angry Dawn in many, many episodes. I think we were scarred by that show.
Yeah, a little bit.
Amazing. Yeah. I've never seen that.
you're really not missing anything.
I know. I saw my fair share of Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
The Explorer.
Yes, I was excited that Dora had seemed to
Dora
go
the Destroyer.
Way Dodo by the time
I'd watch that.
Millie was ready to go.
Dora the Destroyer.
I feel like
the horrible sequel to Dora the Barbarian.
The adorable sister of Drax.
There,
you know?
there might be like a quasi live action Dora
there is.
Movie.
There was.
She's a teenager.
There was a Dora live action
yep.
movie?
She plays a teenager.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's one where it's more like, you know, in kids' cartoons go on like live tours. And yes. they're like
oh, sure.
giant costume.
It's yeah. Dora on ice.
Like a mascot yes, costume.
Kind of like on ice. Exactly. It's like a mascot costume. Right. I feel like there's a Dora, one of those
okay.
kind of movies out there.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I could be wrong, though. I might be thinking of something else. I don't know.
Was it gritty and Gen Z? Or was it actually made for kids?
No, it was made for children.
Okay. That's good.
So
gritty and Gen Z.
I was gonna say Gen Z.
Gen X. I whatever.
Oh yeah.
I don't care. There's plenty of
Gen Z is Millie.
There's plenty
She's
of adorable
the very
properties
end of
that have been Gen X'd to gritty and dark.
Mm.
So I don't need that. Just make it kid friendly.
All of our properties are gritty and dark.
Are you kidding me? True. No. Oh wait, the ones that we grew up with are the ones that we're making.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, because like. Almost all of the MCU stuff was directed by Gen Xers.
I know. I meant the stuff that we had to watch when we were kids.
Because it's for
no,
us.
No. I meant the stuff that we had to watch as kids.
Yeah.
I've always said that the MCU looks the way it does because all of the comic book nerds grew up and finally got the money to make the mm-hmm. stuff look like they wanted 100%.
It to. 100%.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because, like, okay.
They got the money and the technology to do it.
Mm.
Like, this is the stuff that you see now, a lot of it. Is stuff that we wanted as kids, and now we have the means and the resources to do it.
Right.
100%.
Like, you played an awesome video game lately? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Thank you, Gen Xer.
We spent 3 days trying to hop from one plant tube and not be eaten by Audrey 2 to a gold box with a question mark on it.
Yeah, it took forever.
Right. Three
Audrey
days to
two.
Make that jump to just be eaten by a cloud on the next one.
And much like this movie... This guy got his money and made his movie.
Yeah.
And it's so,
yes.
so wonderful to see. I cannot gush enough about all the practical effects.
Thank you. Like it was
once again the CG was a little dodgy. The green screen the Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Elements explosions. there's whatever. That's okay.
You do what you can
you
with what you
your
got. You
spent your money on those costumes and. Thank yeah, you.
Because
thank
those,
you
those
so
costumes
much.
Cost more than it would have.
He had at
used.
Least three, right? Because we saw yeah. three of those
oh, three,
in
the
one
big,
shot
like,
a couple
full
of times.
Costumes. Yeah,
yeah big yeah. head to toe,
yeah.
like, for sure.
Three full man-sized
mm-hmm,
ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'm guessing that they gussied one up for the final queen because she looked a little different, but not too different. They looked like the basic shape. Might have put a couple of spikes on her back and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so the end of this movie is a total Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Some guy is in a shark, I think, question mark?
Yeah.
Robo-shark.
Robo-shark.
Some kind of...
Versus giant crab?
Yeah. I mean, it's Iron Giant that's a little ocean themey in the face.
Yeah.
Because it's got like the big wide kind of shark mouth with
yeah,
teeth.
Yeah, and he kind of had a tail that turned into a sword. And that was straight out of Pacific Rim because everyone that watched Pacific Rim went toward the end where Gypsy Avenger, I think.
Gypsy Danger.
Gypsy Danger whipped out a sword out of nowhere.
Like, where's that been the whole movie?
The chain sword.
It came out of his
and
arms.
Everybody went, why didn't you start with that?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what everyone said while we were watching this.
Yeah.
Why didn't you start with your shark axe?
Yeah.
Shark tail axe or
yeah.
whatever. Oh, by the way, if I didn't mention this. This is a first for our podcast. We actually watched the film right before we sat down to record.
Yeah, so, all together.
There are two things I will say about that. One, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And two, we are definitely not Mystery Science Theater and will not ever do a live...
a riff track? No.
Never. Bad. One, because we're not that funny. And two, we don't work that hard. Because they watched this movie 100 times before they get on. And while there were several very good jokes off the cuff, there were not enough good jokes to have a full episode of that.
Yeah, well, we're not going to pretend we're that interesting.
Jen, I can see smart. I see you over there. It's what you got?
Speak for yourself. I was trying to be quiet so that y'all could take your notes. I could have been much funnier.
Yeah. I mean, I think the difference between us versus Mystery Science is right there in the 100 times watching it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they watch it.
That's a commitment.
Maybe not 100, but they'll watch it like...
Even if they watch it 10
times.
And, you know, to be able to make a comment every time.
By themselves a couple of times, then watch it with the cast a couple of times, and then, and they're taking notes furiously.
Yeah.
I barely watched the movies once for this podcast, so...
That's my job.
And everyone stayed awake. It was amazing.
Yeah. I haven't fallen asleep forever.
That was a lot of fun. And we didn't, it was not a lot of prep, not a lot of six. We didn't do the 6 minutes. So,
yeah. Which is also why we were able to all watch the movie together. Because let me tell you, if it was my turn to do a synopsis, I would have had to tell you all to shut up like 400 times. Yeah. And we would have had to pause like 1,000 times.
That's fine. When you're doing the synopsis,
you have to, or you...
I'll watch it once, and then I'll watch it again, and then take copious notes at that point.
No,
so.
I watch it once, pausing.
You are a much better person than I, because I can't
no,
do that.
See, I'm...
You got a bigger brain than me.
I mean, probably, but...
So, Dave, what do you think? I know you kind of hinted that you liked it. No. I take that back. Dave, what is your opinion?
Wait, time out. Before Dave gives an opinion, can I have another beer?
Ooh.
I think that's a grand idea.
Is it that time already?
I think so. Okay. Yes. Yeah. This is a little different than normal, so it's probably going to be a shorter episode. I don't care.
Will there be more beer?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, you bought the beer.
A third and a fourth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry, I forget things sometimes. I
don't know. All right, let's just shut up. Let's go get a beer.
Okay.
Welcome to the Monster Movie Stomp Down, where twice a month we review monster movies from all corners of the planet. Join me, Sludge.
And I was with to watch it the other night, and she's like, why are you watching this? You can quote this movie line for line. Like, that's very accurate.
My co-host, Mark.
Don't ask me to do a stomp down on this, because it's zero.
Okay, dude. Ruben, what's your stomp down rate?
And our brother from Texas, Ruben.
It's just, I'm like, wait a minute. They tricked me into watching this.
that's what I felt like.
As we give you the history, our review, and the stomp down rating of some of the best and worst monster movies around. Available through the Podbean app, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Amazon. Make sure and check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
All right.
Beer.
We are staying in the state of Ohio with both of these beers, Dave.
Yep.
If I remember right, this won an award.
I if you say so.
I can look it up while you describe to our listener.
I think all Columbus Brewing Company beer should win awards.
Our one listener, according to Millie.
Our one listener.
You're sitting right here.
Yes.
That's right.
Thanks, Jen.
She's right here. Oh, no. Who's going to listen then?
This is superfluous.
So, as Troy said, this is Columbus Brewing Company. This is their Summer Teeth German Style Lager. According to the side of the can, I can't read this. Hold on a second. Summer Teeth is a classic German style lager with crisp floral notes, a bright golden hue, and a fluffy white head. This traditional lager is brewed with a blend of European malts and hops for a bready malt character that is also refreshing, easy drinking beer.
That's all on the can?
No.
Oh. I was like, your can must be different than mine.
I committed it to memory.
I'm impressed.
Nice can.
No, so, the ABV is 5.3, so it is sessionable. You can drink more than one of them. With an IBU of 20. So we will be a little bit maltier.
It'll be malty.
But it's lager. So.
It won't be hoppy.
Right, yeah.
There's a, like, it's not going to be terribly malty at 5%, but it certainly won't be hoppy at all whatsoever. Right. So, yeah, I wasn't wrong. Well, I wasn't. I was correct.
Real quick, though.
Yes.
On the Columbus Brewing Company's website, they also have another statistic, another number called the SRM. Do you know what that is? It is an SRM of 4.3.
4.3. Ooh.
There will be a test on this later.
Dave, I don't know that.
Super radical mouthfeel.
All of my craft beer drinking fools out there, let us know what the SRM is. That does sound really familiar. Like,
sounds like a good
it's something I should know.
The standard reference method. That is the method for color assessment of wort or beer as published in the recommended methods of the American Society of Brewing Chemists.
Oh, so it's the color.
Yeah.
Eh.
I guess.
Not...
It's the first time I've ever even heard of it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that's important because that's important because the Columbus Brewing Company entered this into a giant competition. The American, oh my god. So the SRM is probably the reason they probably post that is because they've entered this into a number of competitions, including the Great American Beer Festival. And I've got it up here.
Oh my
God. In 2010, this did win a bronze medal in the Keller Beer category at the Great American Beer Festival.
What category?
I'm sorry?
The what category?
Keller Beer. Keller Beer is a type of Pilsner.
Are you saying Keller, like Helen?
Keller, yeah, like Helen.
Okay.
Yes, like Helen Keller.
The Helen Keller Beer.
As like, in Psycho Keller.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Oh my god.
Run,
I'd be mad that I started
run,
it.
Run away.
Okay, all right, now I'm getting mad.
You can't tell me, although if you did,
I mean, I can. You just don't have to listen.
But I would, because I'm kind of terrified of you.
Like, a Keller beer is an old German style beer, much like a Pilsner. They're just a little different. Marzen is another type of Pilsner.
Like
that
James.
Just,
like Christ. Like Marzipan?
I'm sorry. I don't have a little song to sing, so, you know.
Done. No more history for you assholes.
You don't deserve my knowledge.
Well, I really like this one, so...
Anyway, it's a style of Pilsner that is called Keller beer. So it's different than a Pilsner. What did I say? Pilsner? Fuck.
Yep. Lager.
It's a lager. It's a different kind of lager. Lagers, much like ales, have different categories and phylums and zygomats and what the fuck is that? What
zygomats?
I don't know.
Species and genus.
That exactly there. So... I've had a couple of beers.
I'm gonna look up what Zygomat is.
Dave, I appreciate you going out getting a beer from Pete's Brewery, the Great Lakes Brewing Company, which is his favorite.
Yes.
And then from mine, the Columbus Brewing Company. I love the Columbus Brewing Company.
It's very grainy.
Grainy?
I like it. The bready.
Breadiness?
Note,
yeah, I get that.
Bready, that's it.
The bready note is, that's spot on, because it tastes, it smells like bread. And not like...
It is very well made. I'm not sure it does smell like bread though.
I like it.
Oh, it definitely smells like bread. It smells
like
bread yeast.
It smells like toast, but it smells bread like
yeast,
bread. Yeah, it smells like bread that needs to be cooked.
Most of the time when we smell beers that smell like bread, it smells like sort of like a whole grain bread. This smells like a lot lighter and fluffier.
To me, this tastes like undercooked bread.
Like, I just said
it's
that.
A little
like
dough. I'm sorry. Yeah. The dough. Yeah.
You said it smells like bread yeast. I said it smells like bread that needs to be cooked.
I completely missed that. I was experiencing another sip and going, I'm not sure I like this. But it's very well done. This is what a Keller beer should.
I like it.
Keller beer. Anyway. I should be quiet.
It has real teeth to it. So.
It does.
This is a very flavorful beer. At 5%.
Teeth.
Yeah, you could drink a bunch of these.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it does hold onto its head a lot longer than I was expecting.
You had it in the glass. How is
it held onto its head a lot longer than I was expecting? It didn't just die down. And
yeah,
it was. It made it more fragrant when you were drinking it, of course. But also, it you could, if you drink foamy anything, mm-hmm. it starts feeling a little bloaty. Mm-hmm. So I could see how, like, if drinking for a while, like drinking a lot of these would probably make you start feeling a little, what's the word that you use? Tar belly?
Yeah, but that's different it's than different. Bloat.
Oh, that's sticky.
That's syrup. Like mm-hmm. heavy.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like drinking.
Like Lamar.
Heavy Lamar. Oh, Heady Lamar. Nice. I was like, the fuck is Heavy Lamar? Nice. Well done.
That's Headley.
Points for Headley. Dave.
Yeah. I'm going to go in a different direction than that one.
That's hilarious. Well done. I tip my hat to you, sir.
So before we broke for this last.
That was an abrupt cut.
It was. Because I said we're going to cut. Peek behind the curtain. Dave, what did you think about this movie? Let us know. Was it enjoyable? Did you like it?
What was the highlight?
What was the highlight?
The highlight?
Yeah. So what else do you think about... So I'm going to interrupt Dave as often as possible. So I can
right.
get this. Yeah, up, you're going to ask me something and then ask me sub-questions and then tell me what you think I'm supposed to talk about.
I apologize.
Welcome to
so my
ADHD,
opinion?
The podcast.
Please, zip.
I can smell the amphetamines in the air.
I'm
just sweating it
like
out.
Like ADHD
right
Snyder?
Hey, nice. That was a really good
Troy's on fire.
Or ADHD Bradley Baker.
Oh, God.
Voice actor? No? Anybody? No.
Sorry.
No.
Man, fuck you guys.
Because you tried to use the same name, that's why.
Yeah. What I did was totally derivative of what
hey,
Troy did.
Focus.
No. Wait, what? Okay, so ask me again and stop asking me follow-up questions before I answer.
Dave, what did you think about that movie?
I like the movie. Next. Okay. In all seriousness, I actually liked the movie because it was just stupid and silly. I loved it. Like, stupid in the best way possible. Silly in the best way possible. And it was just a bonus that they had all these little homages. Like, it was very Gremlins-esque. But also, like, the sort of Power Rangers out of nowhere at the end.
That was totally out of left field.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will go out and say it, like, I was okay with seeing boobs.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed that.
It was gratuitous and unnecessary at the beginning, but also,
yeah, I mean, that was the kind of a harkening back to Jaws. Like, well, there was a right. like mm-hmm. a semi-sexualized area. Well, in this case, like very
there was nothing
openly sexual yes. sexual moment that was interrupted by.
I met that gal, by the way.
I'm sorry. Wait,
from this movie?
No, from
Jaws.
Oh,
that's right. Yes,
really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, I remember vaguely remember hearing about that. The story before.
But yeah, like a sexual moment that is interrupted by monsters and then ends horrifically. Like, that was very Jaws.
And one of the scenes that Jen just howled with laughter was when the crab jumped on
what, Sequoia's
Sequoia's face. Just started gobbling him up.
Yeah. The guy
everywhere.
Jen just howled with laughter.
Yeah. And then like yeah, and then his Sequoia, the unfortunate young gentleman who was having sex on the beach.
Oh, gross.
That's not why he was unfortunate though.
No.
Unfortunately like, but he had, named.
Yes. And it's unfortunate.
His real name
condition.
Too is unfortunate.
And then he got eaten by a crab. And then the girl he was having sex with grabs a rock. A
rock. A
that
big
was
rock,
it.
Yeah.
And she's gonna beat the crab off of his face, which is just bad thinking. Like, but like I suppose you're a little bit
she's
freaked
in a panic.
Out. You're a little bit freaked out because, like, there's blood flowing from underneath this crab, this horseshoe crab.
But so she almost crushes the crab off his face, and then, like, at the last moment, the crab jumps off, and he ends up just braining her. No, sorry.
Braining him.
She just ends up
braining
him, yeah.
Brains him.
Yeah.
Babe?
Yes. These crabs definitely
sorry?
Have a very strong sense of survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And timing.
They're more sentient than you would think a crab is. Mm. Or, I mean, hell, we got DJ Krabby Crab.
Oh, yes.
DJ he's Claws.
He's even
Bartender Crab, yes.
Credited in the movie as DJ Krabs or whatever.
But they are horseshoe crabs, mm-hmm. and they have not changed evolutionarily very much for like, what, 400 million years or something like that. So,
which is crazy. How would they have come up with that name 400 million years ago? Horseshoes weren't even invented yet. It's crazy.
And they're not very U-shaped either.
I know.
We're going to name ourselves horseshoe crabs, and then a couple of 100 million years later, there's going to be horseshoes.
Maybe they named the horseshoes after the crabs. That makes sense. I should have thought of that.
Oh, we have this all backwards.
Really hard to ring a crab on a string.
Plus, we're all the farriers under... You know what? I'm done. Never mind.
All right. Dave says he's done. How about you, Kathleen?
What was my highlight? I was... even though I'm not a giant fan of Gremlins and the ridiculousness that is that movie.
Oh.
Sorry. Well, actually, I haven't even seen Gremlins. That's, I've only seen whatever one you guys made me watch for the podcast.
Two.
Gremlins
2. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So, the chaos scene that was the homage to Gremlins
where the bar.
Crabs are taking over. The one that's playing
under
the claw machine, that made me laugh.
The claw, I swear to God, there was porn in that.
Maybe.
They looked like there was a DVD of some side boob or something.
Well, the way that the previous scene had cut from what was going on into that scene,
mm-hmm.
it gave the impression that our heroes were about to like do something.
Yeah.
And so when the scene cuts, it cuts to the inside of the claw machine. And I was like, really? They're going to get parts out of the claw? Oh, the crab is playing the claw machine. But you don't see that right away. So I didn't
funny.
Really notice.
And he's really good at it.
In the claw machine like you did, but mm-hmm. I also haven't seen it 40 times like you
I've
have
seen
either.
Two times.
So, but like I thought that was kind of funny. The crabs upside down under the beer taps, guzzling the beer. That was funny.
That's definitely a Gremlins.
Right. So the, you know, guzzling the beer and, you know, just kind of wreaking havoc in general around the town. I didn't love some of that gore just because that's not my bag. But at the same time, I could appreciate the... I actually... This is going to sound like a weird thing to say, but I thought the performance of the bartender woman who was having to pretend that a crab was manipulating her like a puppet and making her pour shots
was
actually very well done. Uh-huh. Like, she looked like that crab was... controlling her and like making her do that. And
so the crabs have evolved into like, it looked like at parts they had put some tendrils or something into the brains
Can ratatouille you.
Right.
Yeah, he was like pulling her hair thing, kind of thing to
and
make
she
her.
She was bartending with her arms outstretched.
Yeah, pouring shots for the other crabs that were waiting for beverages.
I wish that had been a longer scene.
Yep.
Yes.
More of that and less of Roddy.
Had them in playing pool and throwing darts.
Yes.
Maybe throwing horseshoes.
Driving a car.
Driving a car. Come on, Pierce.
Yes, like Slimer drives the bus in Ghostbusters. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you have your license, but here we go. No, it's definitely the first one because it's Rick Moranis that talks to him.
Right.
So, but yeah, like... some more of that would have been fun to see, like some of, you know, whatever. I also, as somebody who's been teaching for way too long, appreciate the good use of a overhead projector.
Yes.
Because let me tell you, there have been a couple times in the last year where I wish that I could just like write something or draw something out on a piece of paper and be like this, and everybody can see it. Giant size on the wall.
Do you need one? I've got a couple.
No, we have an old dead one at school too. I mean, it's not dead.
It's dead.
It works.
Oh, okay.
It's
like from the 80s or the 60s?
No, from like probably
from the 90s.
The 90s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it has
from the
60s,
those things lasted forever.
They did. Yeah. But the light bulbs are massively expensive.
Yes, they are.
But it has the attachment to the side where it has a roller, like you can crank it.
Oh, yeah.
So it has it on both sides.
So it's like a slideshow. Like,
well, not just a slideshow, but it's like a giant roll of transparency, like filament kind of thing. And so you can write your notes and then roll it to the next one and write and then roll it back to like refer to
that is for the 90s. I saw those in college.
Can you start drawing a penis and then
yes,
as you roll
it
will get bigger and bigger? Oh, I'm 12.
Can you draw anything else but a penis on that?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, sometimes old technology works out okay.
We had a teacher that did nothing but teach from the overhead.
Oh yeah,
and he had permanent markered.
Oh,
transparencies.
Transparencies, and he would reuse them every fucking year.
Yeah.
Well, you can use a copier or a Xerox machine to Xerox onto transparencies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But probably not in the early 1990s when P was in high school.
Shut up, you.
I'm just saying.
We were all in high school in
98.
We were in the high school in the same time. 98. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're young compared to Troy.
You were in high school in 98?
Yeah.
No, you
yeah.
weren't.
Yes, I was.
What class were you?
89.
There we go.
Sorry.
I was like, try again, son.
My dyslexia.
I finished in 94.
Bitch,
there's no way.
I graduated in 90. You dyslexic son of a bitch.
Yeah, truly. That was definitely dyslexia.
So old. They're old balls.
Old wrinkly balls.
Not mine.
No, your balls are definitely not wrinkly.
Well, you're not technically yours. I'm sure.
Platinum, baby.
Did you have them lacquered?
No, they're platinum. You don't have them lacquered. Yeah.
I just kind of assumed that they were in a jar of formaldehyde under your bathroom sink or something.
No,
in your
purse. Like Jody, I keep them in my purse. Well,
I was assuming that Jody kept Pete's in like a little
nightstand. They're in her purse. He told us all about it one time.
No, I did, didn't I?
So,
why am I having tech?
Because you keep.
Okay.
Stop touching it.
Please, stop touching it. That's one of my.
Oh, man. How many times have I heard that?
Ew!
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I would have 9 nickels. 9?
Wow, you've been keeping track?
100. 9.
Who's have next? You not?
Let's move along. Who's next?
I liked. my it's funny. My favorite part is greatly. Enhanced by Radu is the slow drive down Main Street with Radu, like
you do love that
commenting
commentary.
on that entire thing. Is like, oh, that was horrible. Oh no, and like you know,
you don't look at us. Oh, okay, you just go back to where you're doing good. Yeah. You're going, you know.
And you don't even see him most of the time.
Yeah,
like he's off just camera.
And but like all the just the chaos and like bloodshed and like the guy bursting in the store window. Oh, it's
like literally like, exploding. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. Cloverfield. That was a Cloverfield scene.
That
where
scene
there was
is so
behind the curtain.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, just something explodes.
Ooh, I remember that scene.
A visceral and blood. It was. Yes, I agree. I loved it.
That's my favorite scene in the movie. And then like pastor like jumping onto the hood of the car,
cursing up a storm,
cursing
like a sailor.
Thank God, Jesus, the Holy Trinity,
all the saints and
Moses, and look out! And yeah,
what he gets for flipping off the kid in the wheelchair in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah. It's like it was his comeuppance for being a hypocritical pastor, like clergyman. Mm-hmm. I guess.
What? You're not going to say anything about that? You got nothing to say? Huh. Interesting.
Wait, pull the mic away from your mouth and
nothing,
then say, please.
Nothing on record does Kathleen want to say. Bingo.
I think she wants to say, fuck those guys.
Sure.
You need not confirm nor deny our conjecture at your thoughts at the moment.
What else did you like about this movie?
Boobs. There were some boobs.
I always like boobs.
There are boobs, but not just ah boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was
boobs.
Ah boobs.
No,
singular.
Oh, pair. I loved him in the Simpsons.
Pornography.
There were, I guess, technically 3 pair, even though you only saw one of each of the other 2 pairs when they go to the sheriff's house.
Yeah,
watching porn.
And the
crabs are watching
porn.
Pornography. Yeah,
that was.
And it's two different people's boobs touching.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, technically,
how
pornography?
Was that? Whatever. I don't.
Hey, don't yuck that crab's yum. Mm. He obviously likes
that crab. Liked that.
Yeah.
After 400 billion years of evolutionary standstill,
and living on the bottom of the ocean,
if you want to see a boob touch another boob, hey, you know,
more power to you. Go, Mr. Crab.
I mean, he wasn't actively murdering somebody, so He might have been the most evolved crab that was there.
Fair point. I don't know what I liked best because I really liked most of the film. It was my kind of movie. It was a lot of fun. It was a passion project from this director. The cast did no one acted badly. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of movies where I'm like, oh God, you don't know how to act. And these, I felt like everyone had more than a baseline of how to act. Mm-hmm. There were better actors. There were worser actors. Worser, whatever.
Worser.
Yeah. But nobody made me cringe while they were performing. Mm-hmm. There were no truly. I'm reading off of a cue card, or right. I am.
There was not. Everyone's prequel actually, Natalie Portman.
Right.
Or Natalie Portman.
No.
No, she's, as you said earlier, that off mic, she was great in The Professional.
Absolutely.
And then, like, I am in the Star Wars movie.
She had terrible dialogue.
Yep.
That was in a terrible director.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have the greatest tools in the world, but if you don't know how to use them.
Right. A screwdriver is not going to help you nail.
I don't blame Natalie Portman for this.
So all the main characters had quite a bit of credits to their acting careers. Mm-hmm. They're not amateurs. By any stretch of the imagination, they are no slouches, whatever. They have worked.
Yeah. Yes, they have their SAG cards.
This is not their first. Right. They've got their SAG cards. They have worked
mm-hmm.
and are continuing to work as far as their IMDb pages say.
Yes.
So they're not. This is not their first rodeo.
Well, they're all. I mean, even though they are working actors, they're still what we would consider newcomers.
Sure.
Because they haven't had that big breakout role. And
they're not really high profile yet.
Not in the
so,
least.
So, you know.
And that's like. The teacher has quite a bit of credits.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, she's.
Oh yeah, me too.
Wow, she's pretty.
She has pretty eyes. Pretty,
very pretty. She's been in soap operas and a bunch of other movies. The sheriff, the older fella, has quite a bit of credits as well. He's been around for a while.
Really.
But everyone else is like. It feels like it's the start of their career, but it's not the beginning.
Right.
So they're getting their chops on, and none of them did a bad job.
No, I thought it was
fine.
So I love the practical effects. I love that we didn't have sub Z-list actors here.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't reading off of cards. They were actually
knew their lines.
Acting, mm-hmm. and they knew their lines.
Yeah.
Yay, movie.
That final scene, the final fight, it was a little slow, but give me giant monster versus giant mech, and you got a happy guy.
I have a thought on that one. When you've spent the money on the suits,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to not show them.
You got to show them,
right?
So
and
that's
they showed
why.
Those three full bodies,
right.
all the time, and God bless
them. And the mecha shark wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Voltron or
right.
whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
Voltron.
Like,
that did remind me a little bit of Voltron, even though it's just one pilot.
Right.
Mm. But if you're like, if you're going to spend the time and the money on an intricate suit like
they totally could have done Voltron. There were five of them, weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
There's one a sequel wheelchair coming. Genius.
Right, but there's one clear leader in Voltron, too.
Right, but like the other parts, they'd have to pilot
different
parts.
So there's... there's your sequel.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're not writing your
right leg,
you.
Left leg, right
you go.
Arm,
exactly.
left arm,
exactly.
and I'll form the ass or whatever.
Right.
I'll form the ass sword.
Form assing sword.
He does pull a sword out of his butt.
He does.
Yeah.
Much like Robo Geisha, which we covered on a different podcast.
Yeah. The other scene that I liked a lot from this movie was, and I feel it collectively, we all had a very... large positive reaction to it is when Deputy Brother comes with his Mustang and he's gonna bail out of the Mustang and let it crash into the crab. When he bails out of the Mustang, like you see him in the car and like, I'm gonna burn, and he's like driving, and then you don't 100% know that's what he's gonna do because you don't see him like try to open a door or anything from the view in the Mustang. But if you've watched a movie before, you know that's what he's gonna do. And all of a sudden, he just pops up next to where the other three are standing. Like,
ta-da!
Like,
he dismounts from the car,
and it's like, whoosh, and just pops up, like, hey guys, what's going on? You know? And all of us were just like, ah, when it happened, I thought it was pretty funny. I think that's it for this episode. I think we've done a great job talking about this independent film.
Good job, guys.
Kathy's like, we gotta end this shit. A long and successful career. I look forward to other things that he might do in the future. Sure. Yeah. I would appreciate a little less vomit, blood.
We
even
didn't talk
I don't
about
love
the vomit
them,
at all.
Dead cat.
And there was only one vomit in it.
Yeah, but it was loud and
chunky.
Yeah.
It was loud and chunky.
Okay, let's move on. Remember how I said? So that's about all we have to say about the movie Crabs! Exclamation point.
He tried to clean it up with his hands, and I was like, ugh.
Ow! Oh, jeez.
That was for our listeners who are not aware of this. Like,
go back to FDR American Badass, right?
Thanks, no, Jen. No. On second thought, don't do that. Don't.
At least he didn't puke in a vase.
Or throw shit on a door.
Or poop in a vase.
Poop in a vase and throw it on a door, right? Yeah.
You forgot about that? That's the only thing I remember.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. Next month is a little up in the air. We thought we had what we thought we were going to do, and now we think we're going to do something else that we thought we weren't going to do. So, Kathleen, how can folks get a hold of us if they would like to contact us on the social media?
Well, kudos to you for that chaos sentence actually being completely grammatically correct and making sense.
Yeah.
If you would like to applaud Pete for that, you can send him a message on the Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Facebook group. You could send him, where are my eyeballs? You could send him an email at GBB.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. We've been doing this for years.
I know. Shut up. GBBMN podcast at GB.
At gmail.com.
I had it till Troy started to correct me.
How do you not have this memorized already?
Because you picked a stupid email address and it's all consonants. So,
oh my God, it is.
If you would like to congratulate, you just fucked up the word congratulate. I haven't even had that much to drink.
But I have.
Yes, I think it's like I'm intoxication by proximity. Yes.
You got a contact high?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you would like to congratulate Pete on his ability to say that chaos sentence that was grammatically correct and actually made sense, you can send him an email at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com.
Beer makes
you
him strong.
You can send him a message on the Facebook group called Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Group, or you can leave a message on Instagram at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
Indeed. Thank you all so much for joining us this evening. Please go out and see this movie. If you just want to rent it, that's fine. If you'd like to buy it, I encourage that as well. And I guess that's it. Once again, next month is a little up in the air, so we'll let you know what's going to happen at that point. And until next time.
I can taste clouds.
Shut your dirty chair face.
You smell like a mermaid.
You have more legs than you need, you greedy piece of shit!
You'd be surprised what I can do in editing. All right, it doesn't matter, you do.
Oh, I opened it already.
I go.
No, you got. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I did open both.
Go get another IPA
curtain.
And I'll.
What? It's live.
I'm totally going to use that.
We do a live sound.
Yeah, it's all live. This is all streaming on the internet.
I'm sure there is, but first of all, it won't go to waste. They'll drink it.
I'm going to pull that out of there.
Fucking Beverly Hills, or no, what's it called? Police Academy over here.
What was his name? Dave whatever?
Michael
Winslow.
Yes.
Winslow.
Put the give her the mic.
I don't want this on the podcast. It's just funny.
Oh, just to see like a transparency with a big shaft.
Fuck.
Me too. Wait, what?
Pete broke the microphone holder.
I'm going to have to construct some kind of stand for this. Or we can just get a stand from
I was going to say.
I should just buy another.
Yeah.
We should buy.
You had said that like the crabs wreaking havoc and whatnot.
That was like kind of my...
Hold on. Let me fix this, please.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I guess because he's going to have to edit all of this background noise out.
Clap.
Oh, there. It goes back.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like it. If you do that much weed smoking, it should be like the solution to your problem. Like if you throw, if you blow,
Chekhov's blunt.
Yeah.
Chekhov's blunt. Holy shit! How can I not put that into the cast? Oh fuck you all for making this so hard. I can't. There's no way I can edit that in.
This is gonna be the most chaotic episode ever.
I hate you all. All right, let's just wrap this up.
Before we say anything else that Pete has to figure out how to edit in well.
I don't know how I'm going to do this.
It's going to be the outtakes from hell.